All right. Number 76 is Celeste. And while there are all kinds of like weird, facts that you could go into about this game, here's a question. And is a question, just a yes or no question. It is a potential spoiler talking about the end of the game, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Okay. So if you really care, so Celeste in the game is the name of the mountain that the character, the main character Madeline climbs, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the game, does she make it to the top, or was it simply all about the friends that she met along the way?
I'm going to go with like the shonen answer. It was just about the friendship. It's the power of friendship, no, bro.
She does actually make it to the top. Now, it does require the encouragement of her friends and her battling the evil side as well and coming to terms with her evil side. But all of those things do propel her to the top of the mountain. She does actually make it.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I guess. I just, that's a game that I will never, I'm like, I can't.
Like, you've resigned just yourself
like,
to
it's if I ever it. Do go back to it, it's I'm just gonna turn on like the baby mode and I'm just gonna play it that mm-hmm. way. Like because I just like I'm like I respect the craft. I also I'm like I don't have time for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I'm not gonna do it.
So 75, what remains of Edith Finch? Okay. Ooh. So this is it's another little bit of a multiple choice here, right? So okay. You remember Barbara's scene? She was the Scream Queen, and her story was presented in like the comic book format.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the music that they used for her segment was actually borrowed from a horror franchise, like a series of horror movies. Was it the Nightmare on Elm Street movies? Was it Friday the 13th? Or was it the Halloween movies that they used the theme song as sort of part of her motif there?
I'm going to go with Friday the 13th.
It was actually Halloween.
It was? Oh my gosh. How did I not recognize that?
They used the Halloween theme song as a bit of a motif. They play around with it a little bit, but it's there.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Got it. That's why, like, I thought you were going to say Halloween and I was like, that's too iconic. I would have noticed. I haven't even seen like a ton of those movies, but I've seen a few and that music is because John Carpenter, you know?
Yeah.
But, that's okay. Interesting. That's cool. That's cool. Okay. So total like 180 here from like horror movies. Number 74 is Mega Man Legends.
Okay.
Okay. A simple question. What year does Mega Man Legends take place in? Is it the year 20XX? Is it the year 50XX? Or is it the year 80XX?
Mega Man Legends. I'm going to say 80XX.
80XX is correct. Yes. Yep. It was the original games were 20XX.
Yeah.
So
I knew it wasn't 20XX because I knew that the OG Mega Man was 20XX, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Another little factoid, the Japanese title. I was kind of going back and forth whether I should ask this. Do you happen to know what the Japanese title
is? Well, he's Rockman.
It's Rockman. Yep.
Is it Rockman Densetsu? Legends.
It's Rockman Dash.
Ah.
But Dash stands for Dig Outer's Adventure Story in Halcyon Days. Yeah, I was like, wow, that is a garbage title.
That is a terrible acronym.
That's bad.
That's bad, and you should feel bad. All right.
I love you, Mega Man, but wow.
Sometimes the Japanese titles are worse. That's much worse.
Case in point.
Thanks.
Case in point.
Thanks. I hate it.
Is it Battle Network? I think the ones on the DS were Rockman EXE. And I thought that was really cool because he's a computer program.
Yeah.
In that.
Makes sense. It's an executable file kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Moving on. 73, Kirby's Superstar, right? I think this is like
a
bit of your favorite. Let me.
Yes.
So there is a cult classic JRPG that actually has a reference in the game.
Mm.
And okay. I'm just going to pull up my screen cap here. So a miss. Oh, shoot. I almost gave it away. So
I think it's Earthbound.
It is. There's a Mr. Okay. Saturn is one of the treasures in the Great Cave Offensive, making this the first appearance of anything Earthbound related in Europe.
Oh, wow. There is a section where a boss that you fight is in a box and it looks like an RPG and it is so good.
It is
you
Earthbound.
Have to like do something while it's up there.
So I didn't even get the question out. That's you know that game really well.
I do. I love the game. Oh my gosh. And it just makes sense that Kirby would reference. I didn't realize it was Mr. Saturn though. That's so cool. All right, number 72 is Neo. Okay, true or false that the script for Neo was originally based on an unfinished Akira Kurosawa script?
I'm going to say false, man.
It's actually true.
What?
It's actually true. Yeah, the original idea for the game was based on an unfinished script by Akira Kurosawa. Whether or not it was by him or he had like maybe started working on it or something. But yeah, that was the original idea. It's funny. Like I have to remind myself playing it, and I haven't played it in quite a long time. It's like, oh yeah, this is actually Japanese developed because you know it's like the first Irish samurai kind of a thing from the original Neo
William.
So yes, there you go, mm-hmm. there you go. So
yeah, Neo's great. I love Neo. Mm. All right, so we're dipping into Persona 5 Royal. For our next one right here. And I have a little bit of a multiple choice here regarding everybody's the most detestable of all the trash cats. So what is Morgana's explanation for why he turns into a bus in Mementos? Is it A, the persona Zoro lets him transform into anything while in Mementos and they needed a safe form of transportation? B, Morgana's soft fur will protect them from the attacks of the shadows in Mementos. C, cats turning into buses is an extremely widespread cognition in the general public. Or D, Morgana is a big fan of My Neighbor Totoro.
I'm very tempted to go with one because that seems the most rational, but three or C, the third one there.
Turning into buses is an extremely widespread cognition. That's actually correct, which is actually sort of a riff on My Neighbor Totoro.
Right. Yes, exactly. And that's where it makes sense is like, if Japanese kids grew up on that, like,
they're like, cats turn into school buses. So that's, I didn't know that. And it makes Morgana slightly less detestable, but not enough for to creep out of less detestable or detestable. Still an abomination and needs to be drowned. Somebody drown that cat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's but true. It's true. He's terrible.
There you go, buddy.
Well, number 7 is another Persona, or excuse me, 70 is another Persona game, Persona 3 Fess. Fess in particular, but you know, just because it's the best version of the game. Okay, so in Persona 3, the protagonist's first persona is Orpheus. And Orpheus is in the Greek pantheon. Do you know what he was the Greek representation or god of?
Orpheus?
Mm-hmm. There's a few different things, so if you can name any of them.
He was a singer.
Yep.
And he was a lover of one of the muses. I don't know what he was the god of, though.
Okay. Well, that's close enough because it's generally, you know, depending on where you look, it's like he's the god of literature or lore or song in general. Of course, there's a lot of like Greek gods that are associated with song. It was Apollo who gave him his harp.
Okay.
And so he was always singing, but you're right. There's a famous story about his wife dying and then him traveling to actually singing a bunch of sad songs, people getting sick of it, the gods getting sick of him and then telling him just go into Hades and get her back.
But it was almost sort of a lot sort of thing. You can go in and get her, but you can't look back. Like once you get her, you can't look back. And he does. And That's like,
and the reason he actually even makes that deal is because he plays for Persephone and Hades, who, because of his songs, were like, okay, here's this bargain. Like, he actually entices them with his music, but then, yeah, unfortunately fails in the end there.
The only reason I remember reading that story, because I love mythology, but the only reason I know that is because Hades.
Oh, nice. He shows up there too. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cool. Okay. All right. Well, sweet. Awesome.
So game 69, Dying Light. This was banned in a couple different countries. Tell me which one it's not banned in. Is it banned in China? Is it banned in Germany? Or is it banned in Australia? And the question here again is, which one of these countries is it not banned in?
Yeah. Yeah. Then I would have to say Germany.
No.
Seems like they would have
lesser standards.
It's actually
banned in Germany and Australia and the surrounding islands. It's actually, hold on, let me pull up my little screen cap here. It's the physical release was banned in Germany, and the Switch Online version by extension across all of Europe and Australia and Asia due to graphic violence.
Wow.
Australasia. So it's like Australia and all. Australasia. Yeah. Australasia, I guess. But yeah. And gotcha. Who knew?
That seems weird.
Weird prude Germans and Europeans.
Yeah, totally. All right. Okay. Well, the number 68 is a game that you love, Diablo 2.
Mm-hmm.
How long was Diablo 2 in development? Was it 3 years, 5 years, or 10 years? Diablo 2 was only in development for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Right after the first one was released.
Hmm.
They started in on it, and it came around pretty quickly.
Wow. I don't remember it being that quickly, but...
It was developed over a 3-year period with a crunch time lasting a year and a half. So,
oh wow,
it sounds like it was kind of rough, but only 3 years for Diablo 2.
Hmm. Now it takes him 20 years to get anything done,
right?
And even then, we all have fun. Sometimes not good. all right, so moving.
Yeah, I think the remaster took longer than that.
Oh, for Pete's sake, yeah, that remaster took like 20 years, man. All right, moving on. We're going to talk about another game that I enjoy. In Borderlands, there's a thing called a butt stallion. Do you know what the butt stallion is? Is it A, a diamond pony, B, a unique weapon, or C, is it just a derogatory name that Handsome Jack gives to one of the NPCs?
I'm tempted to say B, but I'm going to go with A.
It is actually a pony made out of diamonds.
Okay. Okay. It sounds like that game's
That is right there, ladies and gentlemen. That is indicative of the humor that is all through Borderlands 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredibly juvenile, and I love it.
I love it. Number 66 is Animal Crossing New Horizons. Okay, so I'll throw out the second one. The question for you is, how many games are in the Animal Crossing series? Mainline games. There are some spinoffs. How many mainline games are there?
I have no idea here, dude.
No idea?
Nah.
Okay. There are five. Okay. There's five. These are original, Wild World, City Folk, New Leaf, and now New Horizons. The original Japanese name, or I guess the Japanese name, is Animal Forest.
Mm.
It's Animal Crossing here in America, but it's Animal Forest in Japan. And the original game, do you know what system it was released on?
The original one? Mm-hmm. GameCube.
GameCube in America, but that's actually an upgraded port of the original Nintendo 64
game.
Was
it a 64DD game? Or
I'm
just
sure
a straight 64.
But it was on 64.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of game for the 64, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of like cut content that was added for the GameCube version of the game. But the GameCube version is the one that came out here in America. So That's fun. Maybe I should ask that question, but I felt like that one was the more commonly known. But anyways, what's next?
Okay. Here's one for you. Do you know, okay, we're going to talk about Metroid Prime here. Do you know where in the timeline Metroid Prime fits? Mm. Does it come before the original Metroid and its subsequent remake, Zero Mission? Does it come in between Metroid and Metroid 2? Or does it come after Metroid 2, The Return of Samus, or its remake, Metroid Samus Returns?
Dang it. I should know this because I've played all of those games. But where does it actually fit? It's not just a self-contained. Gosh. See, I'm tempted to even say like after, but that doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to say in between 1 and 2.
It does. That's actually where it falls chronologically. But it started out, okay? So the series creator, Yoshio Sakamoto, initially called the Prime series Gaiden, or side story games.
Okay.
They are considered to be a contained sub-saga and canon, an official part of the Metroid timeline now. But yeah, the Metroid Prime games actually fall in between Metroid 1 and Metroid 2.
Hmm. Yeah, because I was thinking, like, it's not the introduction of Ridley, because he shows up in that first game at the end of the game. So they don't introduce him, so it can't be first, because he's in the first one. But anyways, yeah. Interesting. That's cool. Well, speaking of firsts, Dragon Quest VIII is our number 64, and this is a game of firsts for the series. Which one of these, this is a two truths and a lie. There you go. Which one of these is not true? It was the first out of the Dragon Quest series to have 3D environments and character models. That was one. Number two is it was the first voice acted Dragon Quest game. Or three, it was the first game with a symphonic soundtrack. And you know what? I'm gonna have to redo this because I did not put in the proper details here. Because really, what I'm asking is, sorry, I'm rereading it here. Because these are all true for America, but they were not true for the Japanese release.
Okay. I was gonna say because I'm pretty sure all three of those are true.
Yes. They were all true for the American release. So actually this is two lies and a truth. Which one is true about the Japanese version, while the other two are not true about the Japanese version? First 3D, first
I'm gonna say voice acting game in Japan.
Okay.
I don't think there was.
Okay. Right. There was no Japanese voice acting. It was only added for the English versions. Didn't change any of the graphics, so it is still the first fully 3D environments and character models. But it was a synthesized soundtrack in Japan. When it came over, they fully did it in symphonic.
Okay.
With a symphony.
So
and
the one true. Okay. Okay. All right.
Also, a few other firsts for the game is it was the first non-Dragon Warrior game here in North America. It was actually Dragon Quest.
Everything prior to that had been Dragon Warrior. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it was also the very first Dragon Quest game to come to the PAL regions. So when it was released in Europe, it's just called Dragon Quest, what is it, Journey of the Cursed King? It's not called Dragon Quest VIII there. It's just called Dragon Quest Journey of the Cursed King because it's the first Dragon Quest game to ever make it to Europe. So, fun facts.
Fun facts. That's interesting. I didn't know that it had never made it to Europe. Man.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
Poor deprived sons of guns. all right. So we're going to talk about one of yours here. SMT Devil Summoner. Mm-hmm. This is a Devil Survivor Overclock.
Survivor?
Yes. True or false? On how long to beat, it says that a main story playthrough clocks in at 43.5 hours. While the completionist run more than triples that time at 133 hours.
I'm going to say that's true.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's true. Yeah, because there's multiple endings. Overclocked gives you some additional content.
Well, for, and it's funny because it goes like main story plus extras like 53. And then it's like everything's like 45 to 50 hours. And then it's like completionist run, 135. I'm like,
yep. Yeah, you're playing through multiple times. And I do believe there's a new game plus, but still multiple endings. So, yeah, fun. All right, number 62 is StarCraft. According to Blizzard, how many copies of StarCraft have ever been sold? Is it, and this, I think these numbers are from like early last year, so it could be a little different. Is it 50 million? Is it 30 million? Or is it 11 million? 50, 30, or 11?
30.
It's actually 11.
Okay.
11 million. It is the fourth best selling out of all of Blizzard's games, the original StarCraft, at 11 million. And then it jumps to 12 million for the next one up, and I can't remember what that was. And 30 and 50 are the other Blizzard games. I know number one is Overwatch. I don't recall. I could easily click this link and just see. But fourth best selling Blizzard game at 11 million copies.
Wow. It's impressive. Blizzard makes good stuff, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just takes him forever and a day to do it now. And honestly, I think when they sort of signed up with Activision, it just was like, but
yeah,
it was not a good effect. Okay. This is a bit of an over and under. We've got Batman Arkham City here on the list. There is a ridiculous amount of Riddler trophies in this game.
Yep.
You're going to tell me, okay, is it over this number or on? I'm going to say 250. More than that or less than that?
250? I was thinking, wait, 250?
250. Okay.
I was literally thinking half that. So I'm going to say lower.
It's actually more than that. There's 282 Riddler trophies, 247 for Batman, and 35 for Catwoman.
Okay. Okay. Even still, I was thinking 125. Whoa. Jeez, that's a lot.
That's crazy. Lot of dumb collectibles.
Yeah. No joke.
No, thank you.
All right, number 60 is Far Cry 3. Okay, so on the box art for Far Cry 3, you have the antagonist
Voss.
Of the game. I don't even know it. Voss. Okay, mm-hmm. That's how you pronounce it. I was seeing it. Voss. He's got a mohawk, right? You know, it's an iconic image, even as someone who hasn't played the mm-hmm. game. My question to you, does he have a visible earring?
Sure.
Yes, he does. He has a black stud that you can see. It's just a little black stud.
I mean,
there,
he seems like a guy who would have earrings. So, mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, though, he doesn't have any visible tattoos. For some reason, I would have thought you would have something.
If you would ask about visible tattoos, I probably would have been like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Is he holding a knife? Nope. Knife is out on the beach. He's holding two pistols.
He's holding guns. So,
yeah.
All right. Pikmin 3. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's a bit of a question. You have three choices here. How long is a day in Pikmin 3? Okay. Well, actually, you have... There are two answers you can guess here, all right?
Okay.
You can either tell me how long it is in a normal playthrough or how long it is in hard or ultra spicy.
Oh, my goodness. I want to say, and it's been years since I played the game, I want to say a normal playthrough, it's like 13 minutes.
Okay, that's not normal. That's actually the hard and ultra spicy time. Around 13 minutes for the hard and ultra spicy. Normal playthroughs, it's actually a day is 18 minutes long.
Okay. Gotcha. Man, that was a fun game. I played it on Wii U and it was so good with the Wii U propped up playing with the motion controls on the big TV and having that. Yeah. Ah, that was a good game. I like that game. Okay, another good game coming up here. Of course, they're all good games. These are the top 100 games of all time officially. Duh. Number 58 is Super Mario World. True or false? Super Mario World was released as Super Mario Brothers 4 in Japan.
Sure.
Yep. It indeed was. If you look at a Super Famicom cartridge, it says Super Mario Brothers 4, Super Mario World. So Super Mario World is in bigger text, but in smaller text, it does indeed say Super Mario Brothers 4.
Well, I mean, makes sense. It's they only get weird and dumb with naming conventions and numbering conventions when it's Final Fantasy and they're bringing it to the States. So
yeah,
I'm not bitter about that at all. So next up here, we've got Psychonauts, and I'm just going to like, now I don't know, it's sort of one of those things that we may have talked to about this before, but Psychonauts actually has its roots in a different game that the entire concept actually came from a prior Tim Schafer game. Do you know which game that was? Was it Day of the Tentacle, Grim Fandango, or Full Throttle?
I'm going to say, Day of the Tentacle.
No, it comes from a sequence in Full Throttle in which Ben experienced a peyote-influenced hallucinogenic trip. It was cut thanks to executive meddling, but it did serve as the genesis for the original concept of Psychonauts.
And it's cut content too. That's crazy. But that's cool. That's cool. They decided, like, hey, let's make a whole game out of this. That's funny.
No, that's Tim Schafer's nice kind fact. Of an odd dude.
Yeah. 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 You can kind of take him or leave him. But his games, take them at face value. Number 56 is Super Mario RPG. So this game is full of references to all kinds of different things like Final Fantasy, Super Sentai, or Power Rangers, all that stuff. But hidden in the game are two cameos from popular Nintendo franchises. They're main characters in mainline Nintendo series. Can you name those two characters that show up in the game? They're also very popular games on the very same system, on Super Nintendo. Can you name one of them?
Is Kirby in it?
No, it's Link and Samus.
It's been a long time since I played. I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. Samus, you find she's like sleeping.
Mm.
And if you go up to her, and she's in her full suit. You know, it's not the unsuited Samus. And she just says, like, she needs to rest in order to fight Mother Brain. You know, like, this is her downtime kind of a thing. And I think Link says something very similar. If I recall, Link was sleeping as well, but I could be wrong.
See, that's...
But if you go into just a random, like, house...
Link doesn't actually say anything. It should just be, like, when they wake him up, true. He just goes, yeah!
He just rolls out.
Rolls out.
Well, the rolling would come later.
With like a little digital squawk. Like,
yeah. Love it.
All right. We got a true or false here. So talking about Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater.
Mm-hmm.
A Snake Eater is a term used to refer to special operations personnel, referencing the fact that these troops at times actually eat snakes out in the field because they're taught to live off the land. Is that a true or a false statement?
Shoot. I'm going to say that's false.
No, that's
a reference to a mongoose.
True. In military circles, the term snake eater is sometimes used to refer to special ops personnel, referencing the fact that these troops have been taught to trap, prepare, and eat local fauna, including snakes, as part of their specialized training. In the game, Snake / Big Boss is recruited from the U.S. Army Special Forces for the Virtuous Mission, making him one of these personnel. Oh, that was it.
That's awesome.
A bit of a spoiler, but yeah.
No, it's ruined now. You ruined the ending to Metal
Snake
Gear Solid 2.
Eater. All right.
Love it. Okay, number 54 is Star Fox 64. Okay, this should be low-hanging fruit. I don't know, in my mind it is, so whatever. What this Star Fox 64 was also the debut of which Nintendo 64 peripheral?
Was it the extra RAM or whatever?
No. It's a different one.
The Rumble Pack?
It was The Rumble Pack. That's what it was. Yep. It came, I believe it came bundled in with the game. And so you could feel the game rumbling while you play it.
That's, I mean, like, dude, as much as that's like dumb and we're kind of like, think about like the way that haptics play a role.
Oh yeah,
now.
It was cool.
And I was like,
it was cool.
We're like, oh, it just rumbles. And then like the more like that's refined, like how, like, mm-hmm. I mean, like it's easy to dog on Nintendo sometimes because they just do stupid things. But like, man, mm-hmm. they really have just pushed the industry forward. Like a lot of people like, mm-hmm. listen, the Nintendo 64 controller is garbage. And anybody who hates on it is absolutely right to do so because it's garbage. It's weird. It's got like the three prongs. But I believe it had the analog stick before PlayStation had theirs.
Mm.
Like the, so, I mean, yeah. even there, it's like they were sort of ahead of the curve. You know, mm-hmm. even though it's like the weird, like, you know, you need a third arm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, there aren't any games where you're actually like going between that, at least none that I ever played, that you're actually going between those two, the third handle or the first handle and the second handle. Like you choose one and you just play with that. But yes, that analog stick got broken. It was very common to have a wimpy little stick there. So I do get the hate. I do think you get used to the controller.
Oh yeah. It's still garbage. It's arguably one of the worst controller designs.
Yeah. Well, in talking about peripherals in general, Nintendo's never been good about those. But I agree and I concede with your point. They do push forward. But there are so many failed peripherals that they've made and just, you know, made like three games and then just decided, no, we're not going to do it. Like even freaking Rob the Robot, you know, it's just like, it's garbage from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's Nintendo. Nintendo don't get it.
Well, sometimes they do and they hit it out of the park, but.
Okay. Okay. So we're talking about Street Fighter Alpha 2. What three characters made their debut in this game?
Mm. Oh my goodness. Gen, I think, was one of them, but I could be wrong. I would say that lady with the gypsy-looking lady with the flowy stuff. I can't remember her name. And Sakura.
Sakura is one of them. The other two, though, that make their first appearance in the series are actually Evil Ryu and Shinakuma.
Okay.
And what's interesting about Evil Ryu and Shinakuma, they actually can use a hidden super combo simply called the Raging Demon. They're the only two that can actually use it, and they can only perform it with a full level 3 super gauge.
Nice. But is that the one where the screen goes black?
Yes.
Yeah, so. That one was crazy. All right, number 52 is Rocket League. True or false, Rocket League is not an original game, but it's actually a sequel.
True.
It is true. The original game is called Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket Powered Battle Cars. Not a joke. Psyonix made that game, and Rocket League is a sequel.
Rocket League is a much better name. I think they did.
Yeah, yes, yeah, a little bit.
Good call. Good call. All right, we're talking about another. Okay, moving on to 51. We're talking about Overwatch, another Blizzard property here. Okay. Do you know what the first character created for this game was? Was it Reaper? Was it Soldier 76? Or was it Tracer?
Tracer seems like the obvious answer, so I'm going to go Soldier 76.
Should have trusted your gut, man. It was Tracer.
Dang it. Okay. Okay. That's why she's on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 50 is Tecmo Super Bowl. Okay. What's the upper limit to the amount of points that you can score in a single game? Is it 77, 99, or 100?
99.
You're correct, because there were only two digits on the scoreboard. So you can still get credit for scoring a touchdown or kicking a field goal, but it won't show up on the scoreboard once you get 99.
Hmm. After that, you just have to keep score on paper. I may or may not have experience doing that. All right.
Oh, wow.
We played a lot of Tecmo Bowl and Super Tecmo Bowl back in the day in my one apartment.
Nice.
So
nice.
All right. This is we're talking about Earthbound. At the beginning of the game,
okay,
you're asked a bunch of questions. Okay, which one of these is not one of them? What's your favorite thing? What's your dog's name? What's your favorite food? And what's your sister's name?
What's your dog's name?
No, it's actually what's your sister's name.
Okay.
The favorite thing becomes like your psionic attack. Your dog, you actually name the dog, and then your favorite homemade food becomes like an item that you can get from time to time.
Yeah, nice, nice. Number 48 is Super Metroid. Okay, so Super Metroid, played this game. It has a very isolating feeling. You're on this planet, feels like alien, you know, everything's out to get you, except that there are two creatures that Samus meets throughout the game that are not hostile. What do they do in this game if they're not fighting you?
Give you power-ups and heal you.
They don't do that. They don't give you the power-ups. They teach you how to use the power-ups. So they actually like show you how to use different things. If you're paying attention, you can see them kind of in the background doing certain things, which can be really helpful in a world where you don't know where you're going and you don't know what to do next. So, and also if you save them at the end of the game, it will sort of change the ending. You can see them flying off the exploding planet as well.
Super Metroid. That's one. I actually need to beat that game. I don't think I've ever beaten it.
Me too. Nope. Me too.
We'll have to throw that in the mix. It's one of those ones that I have some memories of it. But
oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Uncharted 2, it's on our list here at number 47. I'm reading a quote from where it's it was old One Up or something. I don't know. It's some games journalist Lesmian site. You know what I'm saying. Words are hard. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a factoid here. They drank a blank ton of soda over X amount of cans and one bottle of bourbon during the 2 years of production on Uncharted 2. One, the fact that it only took 2 years. Kind of cool. How many cans of soda, you know, roughly, did they drink in that 2 years? And the fact that they only drank one bottle of bourbon in that weak sauce, but they drank, they drank a butt ton of soda.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and this is the entire team?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay. I'd imagine like if they're drinking a ton, like, well, and this is like a small team. So I don't even know. I'm gonna say like 2 12 packs a day times 5 days a week. So I don't know. Actually, I'm not gonna sit here and do the math. I'm gonna say 2,500 cases. That's way overshooting.
I don't know what that translates to, but 30,000 cans of soda.
Wow. I undershot it.
Well, you said 2,500 cases, so let's pull up
by 12.
Handy dandy calculator.
It's 36, right?
Might have been really close, buddy.
Maybe that is 36.
We're
simple math.
Simple math. We're struggling. All right. So 12 times 2,500. 30,000. Actually, you hit it on the nose.
Really?
12 times 2,500 is 30,000. So bonus points, buddy. There you go.
Dun, dun, dun. I get all the bonus points. Awesome. Number 46 is Baldur's Gate 2. How many quests are in the original release? Is it, and these are rounded numbers, not straight. Is it 95? Is it 150? Or is it 260?
260.
Yeah,
there's
you're right.
So many side quests in that game and stuff.
So many.
So many.
That's crazy. It was really difficult to test for bugs because some of them are like 20 minutes and other ones are like multiple hours long. And you have to do it both in single player and multiplayer. So fun times.
All right. This is just a little bit of a did you know? But you Mega know? Man 2, which takes place in the year 20XX, has several firsts. One of being is this is the first appearance of Skull Castle. It's also okay. The first Mega Man game to use the fan-submitted Robot Master designs.
Ah.
Did you know about that? Like that?
I didn't know that was in the second game. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the beginning of what would become a long-standing tradition. Like, pretty much all of the numbered Mega Man games up until X, before 9 and 10. So, like, all of the Mega Mans, like, they would do these surveys and these contests in Japan where they'd have, you'd submit Robot Master designs, which is kind of interesting, also leads to some mixed results. So...
Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I've been inside of a truck stop bathroom before. I've seen some of those. Okay. So number 44 is Dishonored 2. True or false? Dishonored, the original game, was originally supposed to encompass the stories of both games. True or false?
I'm going to say true because that feels kind of ambitious. Like,
yeah,
but yeah,
that it's like a common refrain with a bunch of different games. That's why I tried to get you.
No, but it makes sense though. That one actually like makes sense because like that game's huge, and it's got a very interesting world. So it would have made sense for them to be like, "Hey, and after you rescue Emily, I think it's Emily, the princess or the empress daughter or whatever. Like after you rescue her, like that would have been cool. But yeah, no."
Yeah,
I was wrong.
No, the Dishonored 2 story only came about during the development of DLC for the original game.
Okay.
So they didn't have anything else, but they made that pretty substantial DLC.
That game
I can't remember what
it's called. Have you played Dishonored before?
Mm-mm.
Dude, it's
a
pretty great entry level sort of like sim game, kind of like that. They do Prey. It's a really great example of what Arcane can do. So
nice.
I like those games.
Awesome.
A lot. Our buddies over the now long defunct Era 404 podcast both love that game.
204.
204, yeah. They both love that game. Anyways. All right. Now it's my turn, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
43.
Resident Evil 2 remake. True or false?
So
except for the initial buildup, the game has no loading screens.
Oh, that is a very good one. I'm going to say false.
No, it's actually true that aside from the initial sort of like setup there, the game has no loading screens. It manages to stream the data pretty decently. It's sort of a God of War trick kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I guess it's just, those initial starting the game that I remember. That's cool. That's good to know. All right. So here's one of your favorites, Nate. Number 42 is Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
Okay.
Okay. So everyone knows who's played this game that probably the worst part of the game, and it's a great game, but so probably the low light of the game is the Triforce quest. Okay. How many times throughout the multiple releases of this game has Nintendo revised the Triforce quest and reworked it? Since the original Japanese release, how many times has it been reworked?
Oh, dude. Like every last one of them. So I say like, well, now I have to think about it. I'm going to say six times at least.
But so I only found three times. So the original Japanese release, it was huge. Okay. And actually the story behind it was they had two other dungeons they were working on that ended up getting scrapped. So they threw this in there to kind of like make up for it. And they cut that down for the English release. So the original English release on GameCube was actually a slightly shorter version than what the Japanese got. And then when they made the HD version on Wii U, they really chopped it down in addition to other quality of life things. So I found that they've done three different versions of that Triforce quest throughout the different releases.
Wow. That's It kind of makes me wonder what, like, the original Japanese, like, what that original sort of Triforce Quest experience was like. Because I remember it just being super tedious.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Mm. Mm.
I don't know. I've only played the HD version.
I love that game, but yeah. Mm. All right. Okay, so we're talking about Journey here. Mm. So this is, it's another did you know kind of thing here. And I know I've done two of those in a row, but I don't think there's any way that I, you know. Anyways, according to Austin Wintry, he was the composer for Journey. He does a lot of the Academy of Interactive, like he does a lot of the Game Developer Notebook podcast episodes with different music people. He brought a friend in to experience the game during development. When the friend exited the room, they said to Austin and Genova Chen, who's the creator, about how moved they were by the ending of the game without realizing there was still more of the game to play. Apparently, during their playthrough, the game crashed while they were climbing the hill, and when it fades to white, the game crashed. And so that actually the person just, it was such like a sort of a natural spot for the transition to happen that actually changed the finale to better reflect that moment. So this weird bug that a playtester came in and checked out actually changed the trajectory of the game.
Whoa. That's cool.
So
that's interesting. Wow. Wow. That's crazy. Well, in a similar kind of tone here, number 40 is Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Okay, true or false? The producer of the game, Masahiro Sakurai, he wanted this to be the best Smash Brothers ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he want that, okay? True or false? Was it because the game was the last requested game of him by the late president of Nintendo, Satoru Iwata?
I would say true.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's true. And that puts things more into perspective for me because Sakurai just works himself to death. Oh, I know he was working.
There's those stories about like about sleeping that. Under the desk and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Going home.
I remember hearing about that in the Wii U and 3DS games, but he like immediately went into Ultimate. So I'm just like, what is wrong with this guy? But you're trying to fulfill a request by a friend.
Yeah. We're moving into another we're going to talk Mario Kart 8 for a minute here. It is the best selling Mario Kart ever, right? Mm-hmm. The next one after that is Mario Kart Wii. How many more millions of copies did Mario Kart had? Like, so 3 million, 5 million, or 8 million? How many more copies has Mario Kart 8 sold versus Mario Kart Wii?
Oh my gosh. I feel like going conservative and saying 5.
It's 8 million.
Is 8.
So
shoot.
The Mario Kart 8 has, according to the numbers that I looked at, has sold over 45 million units.
Wow.
Followed by Mario Kart Wii at 37.38. Hmm. So, just about 8 million units separates the two.
That's crazy, because I feel like the Mario Kart Wii is pretty ubiquitous, and Wii was huge in general. So that's crazy that it's outselling it by such a large margin there. That's awesome. Number 38 is Control. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We both know Control. How long was Control in development? Was it 3 years, 5 years, or 7 years?
3.
It was only 3 years. That's crazy to me.
And it was also made on like a fairly
shoestring budget.
Yeah. I was going to say shoestring.
Comparatively.
But like comparatively, it was like, I think it was like 50 million euros or something like that, which is like that's like nothing for some of these games. Or no, I don't even think I was like 20
for
20 million euros or something. It was a very small number for a AAA game. All right.
Crazy.
Let me see here. Horizon Zero Dawn, right? Okay. Game that was robbed, you know, of its due glory and by attention.
The game that's higher up on the list.
By one. anyways, Horizon Zero Dawn. This was Guerrilla Games' first third-person open-world title. What was the series that they actually were known for prior to this?
Killzone.
Yes.
Boom.
I'm pretty sure.
Never played one of those. Let me
double check that because I was actually, I just realized I didn't write down my answer.
Oh, I've noticed that a couple times in mine too.
I'm like, oh like, no. But it, yeah, I'm pretty sure that it's.
Yeah. One of them shooty shooters. I don't know.
Guerrilla Games. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Killzone. It's also, we're at a point in the night where my brain is starting to go.
Yeah.
Guerrilla Games. Yeah, Killzone. So
nice.
Yes. Well done.
Okay,
sir.
Next one up
well done.
Is 36. It's Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. True or false? The development team has said, they have said that the hookshot was considered during development, but it was cut because it completely breaks the climbing mechanic. True or false?
I think that's false.
No, it's true, and I can send you a link to where they talk about it.
I think they're full of it. I think they couldn't get it to work. There's no way, like, no. Like, you could have put that in at the end of the game. You could have got that at Hyrule Castle, and like, yeah. No, they're full of it. I think they're blowing smoke up my rear end and yours.
Okay.
They can say whatever they want. I'm calling them liars. It would make the game better.
This was the game that I was researching that where they did reference Attack on Titan because they, when they were kicking around Hookshot, they were even thinking like two of them. And so you were swinging around and I was like, yeah, just exactly like Attack on Titan.
Or Spider-Man.
That's crazy. Like, right. Yes. Yep.
Dude, can you imagine, like, and this is what I'm saying. Can you imagine if like you would have had segments where you sort of,
how many times have we had this conversation?
I know, but like, dude. Two grappling hooks, or even just one, and sort of like ripping around. It would be, but like if you had like a few segments where you could like zip around like Spider-Man, dude. Like the traversal in Spider-Man is so cool. What if Breath of the Wild had beat them to the punch?
It would be a totally different game.
I don't know, man. I think it'd be a better game, but every time I.
No, I was poking the bear with the question, so.
They make me sad.
All right, what's up
Nintendo,
next?
Nintendo, you make me sad. Make me sad, Nintendo. Castle Crashers, I have to look up because I actually have a screen cap on this one.
Mm.
I'm super with it. Oh, man.
Have fun crashing the castle.
So there's an item that you have to get. And, you know, have you played Castle Crashers?
No, okay. But I know what it is.
So it's like the beat 'em up kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there's some items that you have to find. And sometimes you need them for progression in the story. Like you need to get an like a telescope or a compass, or you have to get potions or bombs or whatever sometimes to progress. So do you just want to take a guess at what item is essential for the industrial castle and lava world levels? Is it a potion? Is it a sandwich? Is it a bomb? Or is it a squeaky toy?
I mean, I want it to be a sandwich.
It is a sandwich.
Nice.
You buy the sandwich, okay, you buy it from the volcano store, which is unlocked after completion of Cyclops Fortress. It's needed to remove the door from the industrial castle to break down the gate in Lava World to defeat the volcano boss in Lava World and move a large boulder in the tall grass field. When you eat the sandwich in Castle Crashers, it makes you a huge roided out version of your knight.
That's awesome. I like this game already.
Oh, it's so good, dude. It's so good.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Well, another good game, one that's our current book club game, is number 34, Ori and the Blind Forest. Okay. This was developed by Moon Studios. The developer was started by two employees of which big game studio? Previous employees of what studio? Is it A, Blizzard, B, Ubisoft Montreal, or C, BioWare?
I'm going to say Ubisoft Montreal.
That's why I threw it in there. But actually, they were both at Blizzard before starting their own studio, breaking off and starting it. So, yeah,
fair enough.
Blizzard employees. That's why it's so good, because Blizzard can actually make good games. Or, I know they have in the past.
Okay, so I've got one for you here. We both like Octopath Traveler. It's that's why it is. I have to look at my list here. It is 33 on the list. When this game first came out, Square Enix, who self-published the game in Japan, found themselves having to apologize for physical copies of the game quickly selling out during its launch weekend and urge consumers to buy the game digitally. Both the second and the third shipments over the following week sold equally as quickly. North American stores had similar issues during the first 2 weeks, to the point where physical copies of Octopath Traveler that were ordered via Amazon after launch ended up listed on back order for up to blank months, 2 months, 3 months, or 4 months.
I'm gonna say three.
It was two.
Okay.
There was such a demand for this game physically that on Amazon, where it's like, if something shows up more than 2 days after you order it, you're outraged.
Right.
But 2 months of back orders,
that's crazy.
That's a good problem to have. I'm sure Square Enix was very, very happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, especially, after their Tokyo RPG games not really, doing as well as they would have hoped. So another throwback RPG.
Was good, but it's very niche. The other two or three, they're good, but they're very niche.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's cool. I'm glad because I love the game. Number 32 is another beloved RPG. It's Dragon Quest V. Okay, so this game, we're just going to play high or low. Okay, so I'm going to give you three chances to peg a number. If you get it wrong, which I'm sure you will the first time around, I'll say whether you need to go higher or lower in order to get the number. Okay, so the question is, how long was it between the original Japanese release of Dragon Quest V on Super Famicom before we got it over here in America for its DS release?
15 years.
Ooh, you need to go a little bit higher.
17 years.
Got it. Dude, second try, you got it. It was 17 years before we saw it here in the shores of North America. I'm sure it was emulated plenty before that happened.
No, probably. I have no doubt. That's a great game. It'd be really cool if they either did it in the 2D HD engine or if they did it in that Dragon Quest XI engine. Either one of those, I'd play the mess out of. I'd love it.
Whole series. Just do it.
Oh, yeah.
Just do it.
You know what? Do the 2D HD version. And do it so that I can go to the church and switch over to a full rendered 3D version. Yeah.
Print money.
You do that for all those games. And I will buy all of them because I'm a sucker. all right. Moving along here. We're at Fallout New Vegas.
Okay.
Okay. True or false? In this game, there's not only an Indiana Jones reference, there's also a reference to the Princess Bride.
I'm going to say true because this game is huge.
It is, but there is a bit of a caveat here. It actually requires, if my phone will work with me, you have to enact the Wild Wasteland perk, which actually is sort of just this almost useless perk, but it makes the game super weird. A lot of weird, weird stuff happens when you inactivate this. One of these, when you choose it at the start of the game, you'll find an old fridge in the desert with a fedora-wearing skeleton inside. This is a reference to Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, in which Indiana Jones takes shelter in a fridge to avoid a nuclear blast. Nuclear blast. There's also a hidden reference to the Princess Bride. When entering the Brock Flower Cave with the Wild Wasteland perk on, the giant rats have been renamed rodents of unusual size.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome. That's a good reference. I like
that's kind of I like that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So number 30 is Yoshi's Island on the Super Nintendo. So true or false, the Super Mario World 2 moniker was only added for the West.
I'm going to say true.
That is true. Yep, they thought it would sell better if people knew that it was related to the Mario World games. But it is not actually Super Mario World 2 in Japan.
We're dumb Americans. We're very gullible.
Fantastic game, though, man.
All right. So, Final Fantasy IV. We all know about the Spoonie Bard reference.
Mm-hmm.
True or false? That's actually accurate. That statement. When Tella, it is Tella, right? Is calling, yes. I got to pull my thing up.
Prince.
The prince, the weird spoony bard. Edward, that's his name. But he calls him a spoony bard. And even though it's a weird sort of like.
Oh, okay. Okay. The, like, yeah, kind of period accurate.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's that's spoony, even though they use that word and it was sort of, that was like a mistranslation kind of weird thing. That's actually a spoony is a descriptor. It's a word that means foolish or lovesick.
Ah.
So it's there you like, go. Even though it's a just a weird translation error, it actually means exactly what it is. So
yeah. Yeah, it was just a strange choice of words, but yeah,
he's an idiot. Yeah. He's a lovesick fool. So yes, the bard is spoony. They check.
Nice. Okay, doing a bit of a 180 here on number 28. It's Doom 2016. So true or false? The reason that there was a prolonged wait time between this game and Doom 3 was because of a rights dispute of the Doom franchise between John Carmack and John Romero.
That seems pretty likely. They were pretty, there was a lot of animosity there for a while. I'm going to say false, though. I think that it was the reason it was prolonged. And if I'm going to guess here, the reason it was prolonged is because they made the game and then they had to basically tear the game apart and rebuild it over from scratch.
Dude, you know, that is correct. It is false. And it's because after 4 years of development, they had to scrap it. What they were making originally, Doom 4, ended up looking, from what I could see, was more like a Call of Duty game. It was more of like a cinematic inside of a city, kind of a brown and gray kind of game. And instead we get Doom 2016. So you know what? It'd take all the time you need because this game is fantastic.
If you're going to make a game that awesome, yes, do what you need to. You can take 10 years to make that game. Like, I don't care. Yep. All right. We're moving on here. I have Super Mario 3D World at 27.
Ah.
Okay. There's an Easter egg in here, okay? And I'm just going to hidden halfway through the stage one of Rainbow World, there is a cloud which will launch the player up to a secret bonus stage consisting of this floating tiles floating in space. Lighting up the tiles will reveal X, which is a famous, another big name Nintendo franchise. It's a character... So, yeah, it is. It's him.
Is it this?
It is Link.
Is it this?
From the,
it's the original Link.
Who appears in The Legend of Zelda. Link. And it's also accompanied with a rendition of the series theme.
That's right. Yep. I remember getting it because you can do one in the game, like before that one, that is Mario in the dot pixel from the original Mario. And then the second one is Link. Yes. Oh, it helps actually playing these games. That's awesome. Okay, number 26 is Astro Bot Rescue Mission. Okay, this game was made by a development team consisting of 25 people in A, 1 year. In 1 year, B, in 18 months, or C, in 2 years.
I'm going to say 18 months. Just pick the middle.
You're right. Yes, exactly. It was. I was just really surprised because I'm like, this is a VR game and you only have 25 people on your team. Like, how did this not take 8 years?
Because they're geniuses.
Yeah. That was pretty sick.
That
Because by all accounts, I've heard it's a fantastic game.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I've played like a level on, mm-hmm. and so it's like I can see it's on my list of like things I need to play that I just haven't gotten around to. All right, moving on here, 25, Dead Space. Okay, mm-hmm. Dead Space protagonist Isaac Clarke. He is named. His name is an homage to two prolific sci-fi authors.
Isaac Asimov and Arthur C. Yep. Clarke.
Well done, sir. I was actually going to, because there's some really interesting trivia about the sound design.
Right.
But I was like, let's just go with low-hanging fruit. But if anybody's listening to this and you're interested, do some reading about the sound design for the original Dead Space. It's super cool. Some of the stuff that this guy did. So.
I love it all. Number 24 is Nier Automata. Mm. Okay. This is true or false. Platinum Games' involvement in Nier Automata only came after playtesting showed that the combat system was its biggest flaw.
Oh, absolutely. Like.
That's actually false. Because Square Enix only agreed to make the game with Platinum Games involvement. Because the original Nier was a financial disappointment.
The original Nier is a weird game with mediocre combat.
Mm-hmm. And that's why like the re-release has redone combat from Platinum Games is in order to make the game, you need another company from the get-go to make your combat. So
yeah, which is unfortunate because Platinum, not going to go down that road. No, nope. Avoid it. But yeah. All right. Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening is next on the list at 23. Do you know the name of the game that there in the original, Game Boy cart, there's a character. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure it's in the remake as well that you can visit. Who is a reference to the game that this game, the Link's Awakening was built in the same engine as another game. Do you know the name of that other game?
Yeah, For Whom the Frog Bell Tolls.
The Bell Tolls. Close enough.
There you go.
That was one where like Wesley, I think, has actually, when on one of his bite size on Link's Awakening, he mentioned it.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, we'll see if Josh is paying attention, but there's a bit of like, you can actually visit Richard from For the Frog, the Bell Tolls.
That's right, Richard.
A reference to the Link's Awakening using an improved version of that game's engine.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also a SimCity reference in the game, which is funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the, yeah.
Will Wright.
That's a weird game. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Weird game. I love that game so much. Number 22 is Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Okay. So this might be a little tough, but I'm just going to ask it anyway and see what happens. Okay. We all know in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out that the fighters are all stereotypes, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not offended. It's funny. But originally, one of the games, so this Punch-Out was originally an arcade cabinet, okay? Then the sequel, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, was on Nintendo. There's a Russian fighter on the NES game. His name is Soda Popinski. What was his original name in the arcade game that had to be censored and changed? Do you have any idea what his original name was?
No, I don't. I don't know this one.
Okay. So if his name is now Soda Popinski as a Russian man, do you have any idea what it would be a reference to in the original arcade?
Probably Vodka or something.
Vodka is his first name. His name was Vodka Drunkinsky in the original arcade.
Wow.
And they decided, it's not going to be in our NES game.
Yeah.
You're going to be called Soda Popinski.
That's a bold move, Cotton. Bold move. Alrighty. Let's sort of keep moving right along here. 21, Spec Ops The Line. This is two truths and a lie. Factoid number one, or potential fact number one. The developers intentionally made the controls and gameplay subpar as a meta commentary on the oversaturated FPS market. Factoid number two. The multiplayer mode was mandated by the producer, and one of the developers described it as essentially being rammed onto the disc like a cancerous growth.
Sounds about right.
Factoid number three. This game, because of its storyline, is banned in the UAE, the United Arab Emirate. And as such, they basically make it almost impossible for most of the Middle East to access this game. So two of these things are true and one of them is a lie. You tell me which one.
I can't see the first one being true. The first one has to be false. Like, why would you make a bad game?
Well, that's the thing. It has the controls and the gameplay are actually kind of the weakest part. And there have been I twisted this just a little bit. That is the false statement. There are a lot of people who actually make the claim, though, that when they made this game, that they did it on purpose. Like a lot of people trying to apologize for the game. So it's like one of those things that you'll see it up on message boards, but the developers actually come out and said, no.
Yeah, that part's not the meta commentary. The rest of it is
meta commentary. and to be honest, like mechanically, it's not awesome, but it's not terrible either. It's not great. Yeah.
So. Exactly. Yeah. Again, I just can't see someone intentionally sabotaging it. That's hard to believe because that would equal less sales if your game doesn't play well. So that's kind of crazy. All right. Number 20 is Final Fantasy Tactics. Okay, so Final Fantasy Tactics is the first game set in the fictional land of Ivalice, right? Yatsumi Mitsuna, I think, is his name who made all this up. Okay, just like Final Fantasy Tactics, Final Fantasy 12, Final Fantasy 14 also take place in Ivalice. What is the one non-Final Fantasy game set in Ivalice?
The name is escaping me right now, and it's making me really mad because I actually really like this game. I can see it. Ashley Riot is the name of the protagonist. He has a giant spike hair.
You got it. It's Vagrant Story.
I was going to say Vanguard Story, but for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Vagrant Story. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm glad you know that. That's super cool. It had never clicked with me that that's the only non-Final Fantasy.
You know what what I want Square Enix to do is bring back Vagrant Story, put it in the Final Fantasy Remastered engine because why not?
Beautiful.
Like you have basically a semi-hardcore action RPG kind of instead they give us Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin. It's like when you could have given me Vagrant Story, you have a game built in dummies. Like you have this is why Square Enix makes me mad because they're stupid. All right.
Yeah.
Castlevania, Symphony of the Night, true or false. Mm. There's an item in the game called the Secret Boots. That in its item description say discreetly increase height. If you look closely, they actually raise Alucard's sprite by a pixel or two.
That has to be true.
It is absolutely true. And that's what makes it awesome.
I love that so much. that's awesome. Because I think I remember that description. Discreetly increases height, but it changes it by a pixel. That is fantastic.
They're like, yeah, if you look at his pixel, it actually grows by all right.
Discreetly. Okay, number 18, God of War.
Boy.
Okay, so God of War, in this game, it moved over from the Greek pantheon to the Norse mythology. But Corey Barlog has said that the team considered other mythological systems to set this game in before they decided on Norse. So which of these three has he specifically said that they were thinking about, that they were heavily considering going to before they decided on Norse? Is it Hindu mythology? Is it Egyptian mythology? Or is it Aztec mythology?
I'm fairly confident it's Egyptian.
That's correct. It is Egyptian. Barlog has said that the problem with that, though, is that Egyptian, like Egypt in general, was more populated. And this was a story that was much more personal to Kratos. And so they needed that open air, basically, in order to tell this story. And so they decided against Egyptian and decided on Norse.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that. I'm kind of interested to see what they do because Ragnarok is supposed to change, like basically close out the Norse mythology cycle. So it's like, will they continue making these games and dip into other mythologies? That'd be like Aztec mythology is pretty bonkers.
Brutal.
Yeah, it's like he actually, it'd be.
I've seen Apocalypto.
It'd be kind of rad to watch Kratos wade into the middle of that. Be kind of a really great fit.
Shop.
All right. So we're talking BioShock Infinite now. During the course of this game, you will likely encounter a number of motorized patriots, enemies which appear in the likeness of all but which of these famous figures? It's sort of like which one isn't one of these, but Zachary Comstock, George Washington, Thomas Edison, or Abraham Lincoln?
I'm going to say Thomas Edison.
It is Thomas Edison. So they show up in the game. They're one of the heaviest hitting enemies in the game. And they're literally built as these giant clockwork representation of the founding fathers. George Washington. Typically appears carrying a pepper mill, a Gatling gun. Honest Abe will do the same, only fighting for the resisting forces of Columbia, the Vox Populi. Late in the game, similar versions are modeled after Columbia's founder, Zachary Comstock, also appear. While they can be taken down in a matter of shots, all motorized patriots have a weak point on their backs. There's a little bit of a pro tip in there.
Nice. I was just thinking that George Washington and Abe Lincoln would be more immediately recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Edison, like his contributions are recognizable. I don't know that his face is quite as recognizable because it's also not on money. So, you know, there's that. Number 16 is Spider-Man. PlayStation 4, Spider-Man. True or false, Spider-Man actually runs on a modified version of Insomniac's proprietary engine that they created for their previous game, Sunset Overdrive.
I'm going to say true.
Yes, that is true. It was modified to produce higher resolutions, but that's pretty much all it was modified.
Because
it looks fantastic.
Ton of Sunset Overdrive in it. Like all the parkour sort of like wall running stuff, that's all Sunset Overdrive, which I need that game to come to PlayStation. They have the rights for it now, so it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, here's a little bit of a Mega Man X. There is a secret technique from another Capcom game. I'm fairly sure that you know this one. What technique?
Got it so many times as a kid.
The Hadouken or Ryu's Fireball is available to Mega Man X.
Mm-hmm. He sounds like a little chicken when he uses it. If you go check out the sound effects, maybe I'll drop it in here. He's like, Hadouken. It's funny. I guess that's more of a turkey, but still, because he has a higher pitched voice.
Hadouken.
Number 14 is Metal Gear. Metal Gear Solid. Okay. At its conception, Metal Gear Solid was planned for a different system than PlayStation. Which platform did Kojima originally want the game to be released on?
It came out, it was originally PlayStation. Okay, wait.
Yeah, so Metal Gear Solid was released on PlayStation.
Yes.
Right? It's
but it was originally meant to go
originally,
somewhere else.
Yes.
Dreamcast?
When Kojima was like planning the game, I'm not saying like it was in development for the system. I'm saying that when he started planning on the game to make another Metal Gear game, he wanted it on this system. Which system was that?
Was it the Super Nintendo?
It was the 3DO.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ew. Ew.
Which, I mean that was a horrible question to ask you. No one would have gotten that, you know.
Ew,
but
I forgot that the thing existed.
I was just like, oh, where did you learn to fly?
Yeah, 3DO is terrible, and Kojima should feel bad. But I'm sure he doesn't rolling around in his, I don't know.
Piles of money.
Yes.
All righty. So we got a little bit of a trivium here from Resident Evil 4. Like the story, you know, we've both played that, right? Resident Evil 4?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was our first like horror game in
October.
Oh,
yeah.
Our first Spooktober before it was called Spooktober.
Yeah, I don't even think that was on. Was that even on?
Was it pre-podcast?
I think that was pre-podcast. I think there was like, yeah. Anyways, so the story is supposed to take place, and this is just a little bit of trivium because there's lots of stuff, mm-hmm. but it's supposed to be taking place in Spain. But the Spanish spoken by the village people is a Mexican dialect. Which has a very different pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, the currency used throughout the game is the peseta, which is a curiosity since Spain had switched to the euro in 2001. But that may have been done intentionally. It's not likely, but it may have been done intentionally to show how behind the times the area was as compared to the rest of modern Spain.
Huh.
But yeah, nice. That's just some weird sort of like goofball stuff there where like, mm-hmm. you know, they're basically speaking Mexican Spanish versus Spanish.
Over in Spain.
That is funny. Yeah, I know that like some of the things that they say too are kind of weird. Like one of the first scenes, if you know Spanish, like gives away some of the plot points in the rest of the game. It's one of those things. But that's pretty cool. Okay, number 12 is Diablo 3. Okay, this is similar to a question you asked
Diablo.
Me earlier.
Diablo. Okay.
Within its release window, Diablo 3 became the fastest selling PC game by selling 3.5 million copies in the span of, is it 24 hours, 5 days, or 2 weeks? How long did it take to sell
3.5?
24 hours. They sold 3.5 million copies.
Oh, and that game launched
Diablo 3.
Really rough. That's a lot of really angry people. I mean, my roommate Sauce, he lived with Parker and I think one of us bought it, but the two of us mm-hmm. just played the mess out of that game. Mm-hmm. And we were even like, yeah, this auction house is really stupid. But the game's fun. We sort of like played it and moved on. So, and then that game became a bit of an obsession for me. 3.5 million in 24 hours. Wow.
In 24 hours. Wow. Yeah. Insane.
That's nuts. I mean, I was hyped for that game. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Well, clearly, lots of people were.
Wow. Yeah. Man. All right here. So next is number 11, Hades, right? We mentioned this before earlier. Okay. And I mentioned that the soundtrack is amazing. Darren Korb mm-hmm. is a genius, right?
Mm-hmm.
Little known, and it's not that, this isn't super hard to find, but he actually did the voices for two characters in this game.
Ooh.
Okay. So how have you played any of this at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so I won't even ask you. These were sort of like originally just supposed to be placeholders, but everybody mm-hmm. liked his performances so much, they were like, just keep doing that. He is actually the voice of Zagreus, the main protagonist. Like your character.
Whoa.
Who, oddly enough, is completely in the game, revealed to be have no musical talent. He sings, of course, like he sings as Orpheus in the game.
Okay.
And there he's emulating Thom Yorke, but he actually voices a third character. Like he doesn't, he just does the singing for Orpheus. He doesn't actually voice Orpheus as far as I'm aware, but he voices Zagreus, and he voices another character named Skelly. And it's when you hear the difference between Skelly and Zagreus, I'd be like, wow, that's the same dude. But and it's but it doesn't sound like he does a really good job. So
yeah. Multi-talented. That is crazy. In addition to all of these awesome soundtracks. Dang. That's awesome. Well, number 10 is BioShock. Okay, this is a true false. Okay. Ken Levine has said that the original theme of the game came from reading through Atlas Shrugged again as an adult, and the Art Deco designs of the game were directly inspired by the book's front cover. True or false?
True.
It's false. He was actually influenced by John D. Rockefeller and Art Deco before adding the Objectivist material. So he wanted to make a first-person shooter in an Art Deco kind of world.
Okay.
And then put the Ayn Rand and all the other stuff in the game. But it was originally, it was the Rockefeller kind of like throwing money around, rags to riches kind of story that he has.
No, it's kind of weird because like the thing is like those, in a lot of ways, like, yeah, Atlas Shrugged is very like Art Deco. Like it.
Right. So right. Yeah. Yes.
It's like I wouldn't say they're synonymous, but like very closely tied. So,
yes.
Dude, so the next one, number 9, Tetris Effect, mm-hmm. right? We're going with some like, some just a general sort of trivium. The Tetris effect is a name, right? Of an mm-hmm. actual condition. Mm-hmm. What is that condition? Like, or what, oh. what is what? So it's a symptom. Like there's something mm-hmm. called the Tetris effect. And,
Are you talking about like flow state?
No, there's, okay. So when people say like, you know, when the, I'll just read it because it's like phrased that question very poorly. So the Tetris effect is actually referencing the fact that Tetris has actually demonstrably and on record caused hallucinations. People see the blocks like just as they're floating, or they'll see like weird how like they'll look at things and be like they'll sort of put them together in Tetris ways. In a nonfiction graphic novel, Tetris, the Games People Play, author and cartoonist Box Brown wrote that people spent so much time in front of the screens playing Tetris that they developed a peculiar side effect. Even after they had stopped playing the game, they could still see images of falling pieces when they closed their eyes. Some people even saw Tetris tiles in their dreams. That is, this became known as the Tetris effect. And in recent years has come to apply to other games that people play for extended periods of time. Also called gaming-induced pseudo-hallucinations or game transfer phenomena. The phenomena was analyzed in a 2014 study published in the International Journal of Human-Computer Interaction.
Man. Wow.
So wow. That Tetris effect is an actual thing. And it's basically you play so much of this thinking game. Like sometimes like you play so much of a game that it's like, you know, like I've been playing a lot of Dragon Quest XI. I have yet to have any pop-up menus, you know, or action menus pop up. But I'm holding out hope.
That's awesome. All right. Well, number 8 is Bloodborne. And although there's tons of esoteric facts I could get into, I didn't want to do that. That's just mean. So we're going to do something much more simple. Let's do another high-low. You'll have 3 chances to guess. What score does Bloodborne currently have on OpenCritic?
90.
The answer is higher.
97.
The answer is lower.
96.
91.
What?
91.
That's it? That's
yeah.
I mean, I thought I was coming in low at 90. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I mean, I knew I was coming in, but I was like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Of course, sometimes Metacritic scores are always, or OpenCritic scores are always like throw me off a little bit.
Right. And who know, you know, when it was first released, I know there was like a 30-second load time whenever you died. So maybe that factored into some of the reviews or something. But still, I mean, that is a very respectable score.
It's a masterpiece. Did you see, speaking of Bloodborne, did you see on the internet, on somebody decided to troll, like, so you know who, Nibelian is, right? Or Nibel. It's a Twitter person who does like news stuff.
Okay. Maybe I've seen some stuff.
They have Mob Psycho or Mob from.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yes. Unamused.
Somebody made a spoof account and instead, like, they did it perfectly. The only thing that mm-hmm. wasn't the same, instead of using the L's though, they used capital I for the L's. So that's how they could basically ape the, everything. Like, they put the picture, they had the same banner, they had the same name and everything, because they didn't use L's, they used capital I's. So they were able to sort of like mimic all this stuff. And then, but they said that they basically confirmed a rumor that we're getting a Bloodborne remaster for PS5 and blah, blah, blah. But it was all a lie. And I actually responded on Twitter and said, someone chose violence today.
I did see rumblings of that.
It's just a hateful thing.
I didn't realize it was a
very hateful thing, sir. You're not funny.
How dare you, sir?
All right. So Hollow Knight, that's next here, right?
Wonderful.
So this game released in a very interesting time window. It released next to two other games that also heavily exploratory in their nature, whose exploration was praised to high heavens. What were those two games?
Is that Breath of the Wild and Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yeah. So Hollow Knight released in the same window as Breath of the Wild, March 3rd, and Horizon Zero Dawn, February 28th. Its release date, a few days before, February 24th, 2017. It came to consoles.
How did it not get overshadowed? That's crazy.
Well, it was a PC game prior to that too. So it had a lot of buzz coming from PC.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
And
yeah, and I know they like discounted it.
Better than both of them. By a lot.
According to our list, it certainly is.
And in real life, by a lot. It's like, don't tell the, you know, which one's your favorite? I love you both equally. I love you all the same. It's you, Hollow Knight.
Except for you.
By a lot.
Nice. Well, number six is Super Mario Galaxy. Okay, this is a fun one. Okay, so I'm going to give you three options here. Awada has said that Mario's bee suit costume was included in the game. You know, he gets a little bee suit, becomes a little bee, because either it was his affinity for bug catching as a child and Mario had never yet become a bug, or he was a big fan of Jerry Seinfeld, or during testing, the bee suit was popular with women.
I'm going to go to the Jerry Seinfeld thing. I want that to be it.
To be it. I see what you did there. No, it's not that one. I threw that one in just for fun. It was because the bee suit was popular with women. So apparently they test it and women like the bees. So
women do not like bees in real life, though.
No, I don't get it.
Nobody likes bees in real life. Bees. All right. I got to pull up my phone here, buddy. All right. So we're talking about The Last of Us. The concept of the infected in The Last of Us was allegedly inspired by an episode of which documentary? Body Snatchers, Planet Earth, Is This How It All Ends, Nature's Giant Killers?
Nature's Giant Killers. I don't even know what that is, but I'm going to go with that one.
It was actually allegedly inspired by an episode of Planet Earth. The Planet Earth episode Jungles shows an ant being infected by the cordyceps fungus, and that which is like the main thing. This real life fungus caused the ant to develop growths on its head that took control of its body. And then this is a really interesting fungus. It takes over these ants and it makes them, I think, like go hang out on like tree branches so they can be eaten by birds that will turn them into poo and then pass the spore on to infect more ants. It's cordyceps is a buck wild thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope. 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 Get me out of there.
So, yeah.
Whew.
Based on real life, folks. That's what makes it even scarier.
That's creepy.
All right.
Okay, number four is Final Fantasy VI. Okay, Yoshitaka Amano, the artist, has said that his favorite Final Fantasy character to draw is from this game, Final Fantasy VI. Which character is it? Hint, this character has the most official artwork from Amano than any other character.
Than any other character?
Than any other Final Fantasy character, excuse me. So it's from this game, and
Terra?
He's done, like, it's the one. Yes, it is Terra, or in Japan, Tina. You know, because I'm so glad they renamed her Terra.
It's a better
name. I
don't
think of a Tina. It's a much better name.
Oh, well, Tina. Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah, I thought that was Terra, but I was like, I didn't know the art connection thing there. Mm-hmm. All right, so Shadow of the Colossus, right? My personal favorite. At number three here. Do you know? Okay, so there are 12 Colossi, I think, in the game. It's been a while since I played it, but it started out with a lot more.
That's right.
Do you know how many the original intent was to have? For like
36?
48.
Oh.
48 Colossi. The original plan was to have a whopping 48 Colossi in the game. That there was cut down to 24. Another 8 of those were then removed from the final product for pacing. They were either combined with the 1 or 2 of the remaining Colossi or just scrapped. So it's 16 Colossi.
Yeah.
So
I'd say that was a good move. That would have been a bit long in the tooth.
Well, and it would have been like, it would have actually sort of, I think, diminished the whole.
Right.
Like,
you'd get
the
used to
Spartan
it.
Nature of that world. Like,
yeah. Yep. That's a good one. All right. So this is my last question. Our number two game, Chrono Trigger. Okay. So, out of the three Dream Team designers who worked on the game, whose initial idea was it to make the story about time travel? Was it Hironobu Sakaguchi, Yuji Horii, or Akira Toriyama?
Gooch.
It was actually Yuji Horii.
Was it Yuji Horii?
Who had the idea for time travel.
Well, and he had already sort of...
Three of them kicked around ideas, so, you know, it all became theirs.
But. He's also, I think, like, you know, he's repeatedly, with the Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior series, he dips into time travel a lot. So
yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
I wonder what was sort of like the jump, like, if the, he was like already sort of... I would have to look at the timetable for all of the different Dragon Warrior games. See, like, because like
where that fits in,
yeah. But yeah, no, that makes sense. I just thought it was Sakaguchi.
Right. Yeah, you'd think he's the story guy.
Yeah. Okay. Super Mario Brothers 3. It's the last game. It's number one on our list because it is the greatest game ever made.
Officially. It's on the list.
On our list and in real life. But here's an interesting sort of thing. A little bit of a tidbit. This is one of the best-selling games that was never bundled with a console. Like, individually, this sold, and I'm just going to read it, 30 million copies in the days of the Nintendo Entertainment System without ever having been bundled with anything.
Oh my gosh.
So, like, you know, it's like when people, like, you know, there are more games now that aren't sold, like, they have sold more than that, like Mario Kart 8, we talked about that, but actually I'm pretty sure there was a bundled version of that at one point in time. But 30 million copies of this game were sold without ever just like lumping it on, like throwing it on a console or including it as a pack-in. And I'm like, dude, that's impressive, especially given the era.
Yeah.
Like, dude, right. Like, yeah. That's why it's the greatest game of all time.
Yes, exactly. I've played it at friends when I was younger. Before we owned it, I played it at friends' houses on NES, like two friends in particular that I know owned it. But personally, when I played through it, I played through it in Mario All-Stars on Super Nintendo. So like, I'm not even in that camp. That's insane. I wonder what the like, what's that called? The ratio of like total console sales to that game is, because that's got to be pretty stinking high.
No, the attach rate.
Attach rate, yeah, there you go.
On that, yeah, I have no idea. That's
awesome.
But yeah, so
sick. Well, that's awesome, and that concludes our the best questions ever. We have the best question. We have the best games. We have the best questions.
The top 100 questions about our top 100 list ever put together.
There you go. And as usual, we were pretty good at being bad.
Oh, dude, this is so beefy.
we'll figure out what to do with it. I don't know. I don't know at this point. I'm kind of scared.
Nah, I think just like when you get it all edited and stuff, just like drop it into the feeds. Yeah. Just
there it goes.
Big old bomb of awesome.
But you know, guys, if we miss some trivia on these games, if there's some really cool facts that you think we should have brought out, you can shoot them our way. There's tons of ways. You know, if you want to do it more secretive so that we can say it on the air, we've got our email address is just thebacklogbreakdown@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to us on Twitter. Our handle is @BBDowncast. We do have a Discord server. We don't have a trivia channel right now, but if you want us to start that up, just let us know. Link for that Discord channel is in the description.
Listen,
we're not going to do that.
I'm not adding any more channels that just become sort of like my responsibility to sort of keep active. And
we're done. Not doing that.
If somebody is like, hey, if you start the channel, I will dump trivia in there. Great. I will start the channel, but do not expect me to add things to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I am already busy enough. I have other things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And we've taken up half your day just planning for the episode and then doing the episode. So we do also have a Facebook group, the #BacklogBookClub over on Facebook. And then if you just want to get a little bit more personal with either of us on the internet, I generally either go by my name, Josh Broccolo, or by my handle, Broccolope. And Nate goes by
Nate_McKeever.
Boom.
Mm-hmm. There so I have a couple little shout outs before we sort of wrap it up. Mark Erickson is a listener and he's in our Discord. He actually started up a podcast called 11 and a half minutes to talk about video games.
That's right.
So very on brand, it makes sense. It's, you know, and it is literally just, he gets somebody on, they talk about games for 11 and a half minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. I like it. It's, he and I have sort of been tweeting back and forth a little bit. And he said that, you know, well, he's like, you know, I'm practicing the being really good at brevity thing. And I'm like, well, somebody has to, because Josh and I, as evidenced by this episode, are not good at that. We are very good at being bad at the aforementioned brevity. Also, and I'm not going to name them, but we have gotten some messages or emails, or we've had a couple guys who were involved in the Discord or on Facebook or whatever, either mention in the Discord or message us and just say that they're taking some time off and they're stepping away from the podcast or the Facebook group or the Discord or whatever. And it's been for actually what is a really cool reason. And at some point in time, you and I are probably going to have a longer form version of this conversation, but they've basically said that, like, you know, and hopefully I'm not putting words, but because of the community and the dialogues that we encourage and some of that stuff, like they've been able to reevaluate their relationship with video games in general and their relationship with their family and their friends and their church and the community. And they feel like they need to take some time off and really focus on community and friends and family and their church. And, you know, it sounds pretty counterintuitive. Like, you know, it's like, there's a part of me that's like, like, dude, that sucks. You know, we're losing members. We're losing this. But it's like on the same end, like if those guys are listening to this and you guys know who you are, I want to say this publicly. I am so incredibly proud of you. And I'm grateful for the fact that, like, in some way, shape, or form, that the conversations that Josh and I have, and that the communities that we've sort of been building here, were able to be a part of that and to encourage you to pursue maturity. Like, dude, hats off, boys, you know? And yes. Again, you guys know who you are. I'm not going to steal your glory or like, but it's like, I'm proud of you guys. I think it's a very cool decision. And I just want you to hear that. Like, and I want other people to know, like, too, if you ever sort of feel the need to step away from the community, or if you're a patron, step away from the Patreon or any of that, like, and you're doing it because you want to sort of reorganize and reprioritize, like, your sort of your life stuff. Like, dude, 100% behind that. 100% yeah. behind that. This, like I said, again, not going to mention names, but like you guys are proud of you. Just wanted to put that out there. So, like I said, you and I will probably have a longer form conversation about that at some point in time. yeah, I just wanted to I wanted to shout Mark out because I think that 11 and a half minutes to talk about video games is really cool. I want to have him on to talk about that. but he's going to have to carve out more than 11 and a half minutes. Anyways. Yeah,
good stuff.
So we have done the things, Josh. This was massive.
I think so. Yeah.
And you know what? Yeah. Honestly, if we miss something or we got something wrong, I don't care. It's too big. It's too big to go back and fix now. It's done.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
Yeah. We were a little too ambitious.
This is one of those ones where I think we would have been served just fine if we had split it into said, like, why don't we do the bottom 50 and then come back and like and do the top 50?
I agree.
Oh, it was like
I agree.
Our podcasting eyes were so much bigger than our podcasting stomachs.
It's true. And here we are, full, fat, and satiated.
Bloated.
At the end of another episode. Bloated.
Bloated, yes. Tired.
Can't fit in another.
Needing some sweatpants.
Another question.
No more questions. I'm done with questions for now. All right, man. Well, so we've done it, Josh.
Yep.
Until next time, what should they do?
Guys, keep beating down your backlogs. We'll keep breaking down those benefits.
Absolutely. Maybe.